The revelations that the National Security Agency is collecting vast quantities of telephone and internet data on American citizens are also raising new questions about the private companies the NSA utilizes to work on sensitive projects. Booz Allen Hamilton, which employed the 29-year-old leaker Edward Snowden, has come under particular scrutiny lately, but it's only one of a wide array of private defense contractors working for our intelligence services. And we're joined now by Tim Shorrock, an investigative journalist and author of the book Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Intelligence Outsourcing. He also wrote a recent article for Salon.com called Meet the Contractors, Analyzing Your Private Data. And I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our program today. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Booz Allen Hamilton is one of the nation's largest and most profitable defense and intelligence contractors. What kinds of work does it typically do for the U.S. government?
Well, they're kind of an advisor to the intelligence community, and they have very high-level relationships with, you know, all the major three-letter agencies like NSA, CIA. Also, they're very big in defense, in the defense and intelligence area there. So they're pretty much sort of at the management level, but they also provide a lot of people that do technical work and analysis of intelligence. And clearly from these revelations from The Guardian and The Washington Post, and from the revelations from this young man who worked for them, it's clear that they're active at the very, very highest levels of U.S. intelligence.
And they have been quite profitable, but their stock price dropped after the story hit. You think that's just temporary? Do you think it'll be back to business as usual?
Probably come back. Yeah, it's probably temporary. People will go back and buy it, you know, after the storm passes. I don't think it's really going to affect it. And, you know, I think, you know, they've had ups and downs, but they have a lot of business in the defense and intelligence area. And I don't think this is going to cost them to lose any.
In an interview with The Guardian, Edward Snowden said that he had a wide range of capabilities while he was working at the company. And we have a clip from that. Let's take a listen.
Any analyst at any time can target anyone, any selector anywhere. Where those communications will be picked up depends on the range of the sensor networks and the authorities that analyst is empowered with. Not all analysts have the ability to target everything, but I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
So do we know how many private contractors with the kinds of security clearance Edward Snowden had currently work for the U.S. government?
You know, the number is in the hundreds of thousands, and that's what's really scary about this. I mean, we have a society now where we have, you know, like I just said, literally hundreds of thousands of people with security clearances doing this kind of work. I mean, imagine this young kid working for this contractor with the authority to wiretap anybody. And that's what contractors are doing. I think that's pretty frightening.
Well, actually, the statistic I've heard is 500,000 people have top security clearance in this country. That's a lot of people. According to the New York Times, 23% of Booz Allen Hamilton's revenue last year came from intelligence work. What concerns do privacy advocates, what concerns them most about having private contractors do this kind of work for the U.S. government? Couldn't it be done by the U.S. government itself?
Well, of course it could, and I think what, you know, the civil libertarians have to say about it is the same what they say about the government spying and surveillance, is it's wrong and it's unconstitutional, and it's depriving us of our privacy rights. But I think, you know, the fact is that you have private companies involved in this adds a whole other layer, another dimension to it, because, like I was just saying, you know, you have hundreds of thousands of people spying on Americans. I wrote an article recently about the NSA whistleblowers who blew the whistle on some corruption at the National Security Agency, and one of them, Bill Binney, often warns that the United States intelligence agencies are becoming like the Stasi in East Germany, where they listen in on everybody. And, you know, after seeing these revelations about Booz Allen Hamilton, That doesn't sound that much of an exaggeration. I think, you know, we're moving toward that kind of society. And if Booz Allen Hamilton has this kind of power and this kind of access and these kind of authorities, then you can bet that other companies on the same level also do, such as SAIC, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin. They're all in there, and they all have many tens of thousands of cleared analysts and intelligence workers that work throughout the intelligence community.
But the most recent poll indicates that most Americans are not upset about this. They say, since I haven't done anything wrong, I don't care whether they listen in or not.
Well, I think that's a mistaken attitude. I think, you know, the fact is one of these stories that the Guardian had was about the FISA court order to allow NSA to download essentially millions of phone calls made by Verizon subscribers, and the court order included domestic to domestic calls, so internally within the United States. You know, the NSA was created to collect foreign intelligence, and the act that guides it is called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And so, you know, what we have is they've turned a system built to collect foreign intelligence onto the American people. I think that's pretty alarming. And if people want to think that it's not going to harm them, well, I think, you know, they're going to regret that 5 or 10 years from now.
In your article, you write about a Boeing subsidiary called NARIS. You call them one of the NSA's most important contractors. What services do they provide for the agency?
Well, they make a very specialized technology that allows agencies and any telecom company to intercept calls that are telephone calls and internet traffic that's flowing across fiber optic lines, and they have the ability to analyze hundreds of thousands of calls a minute that come through. And so NARIS became well known when all the stories broke about NSA on warrantless surveillance, around 2005, 2006, when there was this whistleblower at AT&T who noticed that NARIS equipment NARIS equipment was hooked up at the AT&T sites, these sites where the cables meet, and they hooked up the NARIS equipment, and they basically diverted all of AT&T's traffic into a room that was diverted, and they diverted all the traffic into the NSA's own servers. And so it's it can operate at very, very fast speeds and collect just tens of thousands of emails as it goes through the system. And so that's why I call it a very powerful tool, because it allows this kind of dragnet surveillance on our phone lines. And it's being done by Verizon. It's also being done at all the other telecommunications companies, too. So that particular equipment's very important for the NSA.
Isn't the NSA a black budget agency, meaning that we don't know how much our government is spending on it?
Yeah, although lately they've been lifting some of the secrecy over the actual budgets. But I would say that the last time I looked at it, its budget was about $8 billion a year. It's about 10% of the entire intelligence community budget. The NSA is by far the largest of all the intelligence agencies. So it's a lot of money. And when you figure that I reported a few years ago that 70% of the intelligence budget goes to private sector contractors. And so out of $8 billion, that's, $6 billion or more that goes to the private sector just out of its own budget. So that's a lot of business. That's a huge amount of money going to companies like Booz Allen and the rest.
Do we know how many companies were in all?
I estimate that there's about 100 companies that do actual intelligence. There's probably hundreds and maybe thousands of companies that do some kind of business with the intelligence community and sell all kinds of different technology and services. But there's about 100 core companies, And many of them are the largest defense contractors that people know the names of, like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, and you see them, you know, advertised on TV a lot. You know, Boeing is one of them. Boeing actually owns NARIS, the company we were just talking about. So there's, you know, quite a large number of those kind of companies, and, you know, many of them are now based in Washington. Many of them have moved their headquarters from where they originally were back here to take advantage of the huge growth in spending in defense and intelligence.
Although Edward Snowden was in Hawaii, when did privatization of agencies like the NSA begin? Was this something that occurred when Michael Hayden was the head of the NSA?
Well, Hayden really set in motion the privatization of signals intelligence analysis. They decided, they, meaning the NSA and the advisory boards to the NSA, decided around the turn of the century that rather than develop their own in-house technology to basically do the intelligence on this, the newly emerging, you know, cell phones and, you know, computerized communications and fiber optics, they decided to turn to the private sector, and they basically handed off this business of analysis of signals intelligence to the private sector, to a large consortium led by SAIC. It was a project I wrote about in The Nation a couple of months ago called Trailblazer that completely failed, never produced any intelligence at all, and in fact was a pretty much of a boondoggle and a scandal, wasted billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, unfortunately, that the companies actually worked very closely with Hayden in developing the plans for that, and I think that it's very alarming. You know, at the highest levels, they're giving advice to the intelligence agencies, and often that advice is very self-serving. You know, work with this company, work with that company, and they all have business relationships, and that particular project was a disaster.
Well, isn't one of the arguments made in favor of outsourcing government work to a private sector that it'll bring costs down? Obviously, that hasn't happened in what you're describing. Also, Edward Snowden was paid either $200,000 a year or $122,000 a year, depending on who's telling you. But that's a lot of money for all of the people who work at these agencies, at these private companies, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, they make in intelligence, it's usually about double what government intelligence officers make. So, you know, $200,000 is a figure you often hear. And that's one of the big attractions to people in the intelligence agencies, is that there's money to be made. And, you know, you see this flow of people. It's this huge flow of people from the government, you know, into the private intelligence companies. And then they often come back. The example I often use is Michael McConnell, who is now at Booz Allen, is a senior executive at Booz Allen. Before that, he was Bush's director of national intelligence for a few years. Before that, he was at Booz Allen. Before that, he was director of the NSA himself under Clinton. So these people go back and forth.
James Clapper, the current director of national intelligence, used to work for Booz Allen.
He did, and he worked for some satellite company called GeoEye as well, and some other smaller intelligence companies. But, yeah, he's very involved. You can't find anybody who's left intelligence or even is part of intelligence who's not part of the private sector world either. George Tenet left the CIA. He began working as a director for several major intelligence contractors. That's been the way of life for these people for about 10, 12 years now. Didn't happen before. Didn't happen very much.
Now, the defenders of this cite the New York the possibility that there would have been a New York subway bombing as a reason that we need this sort of thing. They didn't come up with the Boston Marathon bomber, although the Russians had alerted us to them as potential problems. What's happening here? I mean, if all of this data is being collected, is it being put to any good use?
Well, I think what's happening is that they're doing dragnet surveillance, and they're just downloading everything they possibly can, and they go back to it to analyze it later. But unfortunately, they're not applying, you know, specialized techniques to, you know, real particular situations, I don't think. And, you know, the example you gave is a really good one, because you know, here the Russians had given notice that these people should be looked at. They did look at them a bit, but apparently they just, you know, stopped tracking them or something. But I think it's the problem is that they're just trying to do this huge web net of everybody, catch everybody in this huge web, and then, you know, download it and analyze it and look at connections and look at relationships. And I think that's a huge waste. And they're losing intel. They're not really, you know, finding anything. They say they do, but that story itself, I haven't looked carefully at it myself, but some other reporters, like Marcy Wheeler, has looked at that case that they just cited, and the story kind of falls apart when you compare statements they made about it in the past. It wasn't this technology that found that one particular bomber. There was other factors there, including human intelligence. I mean, you can't solve all these problems just by downloading all the, you know, wiretapping everybody in the world and looking at everybody. You have to concentrate it in intelligence. And I think that's part of the big mistake.
Does anyone have oversight responsibility on all of these programs and companies to make sure that what they're doing and how they're doing it is legal?
Well, inside the companies, of course, they do, and to make sure they're legal, but they're really the congressional, you know, Congress has basically fallen on its face in terms of oversight. Since 9/11, since this huge expansion in contractors, there's only been one hearing that I know about where they actually, in the Congress, where they've actually looked at intelligence contracting. Sometimes it's come up in questions. In different kinds of hearings at the House or Senate, but there's only been one hearing devoted to it, and that wasn't much of anything. And, you know, I think Congress has completely abdicated its responsibility in this area, and hopefully this might wake them up a bit to the fact that, you know, you've got not only do you have the government doing questionable programs, questionable surveillance programs, but you've got corporations that are involved in them at the highest levels.
Tim Sharrock wrote a recent article for Salon.com called Meet the Contractors Analyzing Your Private Data. He is the author of the book Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Intelligence Outsourcing. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thanks. I appreciate it.